I ask you to turn your Bibles with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe in the prophets, and so shall ye prosper." Shall we bow our heads to prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we ask again, Lord, that you will guide your words to our hearts as we listen, for Christ's sake. Our harvest, or in gathering launch, will be during the pastor's time. We hope that you'll be around for it. I'd like to talk to you under the caption, God's Formula for Success in Times of Crisis. And I think it's very relevant to the business folk. And when we have times of crisis, some people believe that it's time to lay arms down, but it's an opportunity for progress. "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper." No matter who we are, we will surely face crisis sometimes in our lives. It could be an individual crisis or a corporate crisis, like the one that we are now facing as a nation. And that's what? The HIV virus. And we are praying that the Ebola doesn't come our way. Isn't that so? But crisis will come. Times will come when an unpredictable event or the unforeseen consequence of some event will require us to make decisions quickly, if only to avoid the negative effect or damage brought about by such an event. All kinds of situations can trigger these crises. The loss of a job, a decline in the national economy like what we are facing now, a state of war, an accident, sickness, the sudden death of a loved one. All kinds of crisis may come. Everyone then needs some kind of skill. Needs some kind of skill in coping with crisis. The need is so universal that theologians have even devised a system they call crisis theology. But crises are not necessarily evil. Am I right? Much good can come out of a crisis. At a particular theological seminary in Philippines, there are many graduate students from China. One day in a class, a teacher asked the Chinese students about the Mandarin word for crisis. The students replied that Mandarin word for crisis is composed of two characteristics: Wizi, symbolizing danger and opportunity. The Chinese are absolutely correct. Crisis brings danger, but it also offers opportunities. This probably is one of the reasons why many Chinese are so successful in business. I was saying the other day that there are so many people dying in our country, and I hardly ever been to a Chinese funeral or see any Chinese man dying. I don't know. Maybe it's something we need to check out. Can you help me with that? Let us learn from the experience of one of the great kings of Judah, King Jehoshaphat, recorded in 2 Chronicles 20:1-30. This narrative is a feel-good story. The ending is great, Having gone through the crisis, King Jehoshaphat emerged victorious. Verse 24. Richer. Verse 25. Happier. Verse 27. The kingdom became more prosperous and peaceful. Above all, God's name was honored and glorified. How did these things come about? What strategies, if any, did Jehoshaphat employ to survive the crisis so successfully? Let us turn to the story and see what we can discover. It happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon and others, with them beside the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. War always brings crisis. Is that true? The crisis may be intensely personal, and all the more so if you are the leader of a nation, of a business, and you are leading out in the war. This was no ordinary war. The enemy was a coalition, a vast army, which have now about to surround the capital city, Jerusalem. This required immediate action. Strategic decisions had to be made. If you were Jehoshaphat, what would you have done? And the Bible records that King Jehoshaphat's initial reaction was that he feared. And that would be most of us' natural reaction. He was afraid. And we do not have much respect, maybe, for a leader who is a coward. But fear is normal reaction in times of crisis. Do not feel bad when you experience fear in a crisis. It was Julius Caesar who said that no one is so brave that he is not disturbed by something unexpected. Fear can never be positive if this leads to God. So with this in mind, we notice that later in this narrative, the first command of God's spokesperson, the prophet Jaizel, to King Jehoshaphat is, "Do not be afraid." And notice in the Bible also, whenever God's angels come around to speak to anybody, they always say, "Fear not." Do not fear. This occurs 365 times in the Bible, enough for each day's quota of fearful situations. We believe we believers are not exempt from fear. We fear the chickpea, isn't that so? We fear the Ebola, but we have a God to whom we can take our fears. Can the church say amen? This brings us to our first principle in dealing with the crisis. Number one, seek God's will first and foremost. Here is the first key to success of Jehoshaphat in the crisis. He set himself to seek the Lord. Amen? This was not a half-hearted seeking. The words "set himself" denote intentionality, resolve, purposefulness, sincerity in seeking God. King Jehoshaphat also commanded the people to fast, another indicator of the depth of the crisis and the intensity of his primary response to seek God. The first principle, our strategy for surviving a crisis, was not foreign to Jehoshaphat. Seeking God first and foremost when making decision was natural to him. You remember his experience with Ahab, the king of Israel, based in Samaria. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 18 to review the story. Jehoshaphat had riches and honor and abundance. And by marriage, he allied himself with Ahab. Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, was married to Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. So the two kings are related by the marriage of their children. And verse 2 tells us that King Jehoshaphat went for a state visit to Ahab in Samaria. He was received well by Ahab, who held a big state banquet for him. And during the banquet, however, Ahab succeeded in convincing Jehoshaphat to go to war against the king of Syria over the territory of Ramoth-Gilead. In a moment of weakness, Jehoshaphat hastily agreed to join the war. There are many things that we are hasty about and that we do not consult God in. But they needed God to be with them. And realizing later how unstudied and hasty his decision had been, he said to Ahab, "Is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him?" This question shows the real Jehoshaphat. Whenever he had to make decisions, he would inquire of the Lord. And I'm saying to the Business Association today, whenever we need to make a decision, consult the Lord. But against true prophetic voice of God's prophet, Micah, both Ahab and the reluctant king Jehoshaphat engaged the Syrians in battle. The result was a disaster. Ahab was killed. Jehoshaphat himself narrowly escaped death. But this habit of seeking the will of God first and foremost saved the day for Jehoshaphat. Amen. And as the people of God, we need to seek God daily. Amen. Put your plans and your strategy to him every day. Submit them before you leave your house and ask his will. If it's not his will, ask him to supply you with new one or ones. But against the true prophet, voice of God's prophet, then Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned safely to his house in Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Anin, seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? And therefore, the wrath of the Lord is upon you." And it's a serious thing for the wrath of the Lord to be upon us, isn't that so? "Nevertheless, good things are found in you, in that you have removed the wooden images from the land and have prepared your heart to seek God." What are those wooden images that we have that we need to remove in order for us to seek God? Jehoshaphat survived the crisis victoriously because he sought God sincerely. His was a God-first policy. He set his heart on seeking God. Number two, face the crisis based on God's agenda and not your agenda. The second secret or key to Jehoshaphat's success through crisis can be gleaned from 2 Chronicles 25. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord. This response of Jehoshaphat to the crisis is amazing. This strategy is worth emulating. You see, the cause of this crisis was secular, political in nature. It would have been natural for Jehoshaphat to stay in the palace, consult with his military advisors, and strategize against the enemy in the war. Instead, Jehoshaphat went to the temple. Where he went? He went to the temple. What a crazy idea. Jehoshaphat was not yet in such a desperation, a desperate situation, that he had to come to this extreme. From the human point of view, he had all the reasons he needed to solve the issue. In chapter 17, 2 Chronicles, we are told that King Jehoshaphat was powerful. Even the traditional enemies paid him tribute. He had a large, powerful army of 1,160,000 soldiers. The morale of the people was high because of his social, educational, and judicial reforms. But instead of relying on these resources, he went to the temple and started solving the problem there. I mean, even today, every corner you turn, as they talk about the chikungunya virus, you hear, what is the church doing? Well, the church has always been praying. Church, you don't believe it, eh? The church is always praying for all kind of crisis. And though we didn't go out and sound an alarm, the church is working too. You don't even believe it, so you're not even saying amen. In other words, he faced the crisis with an intention to fulfill God's agenda. He was determined to solve the problem in a manner aligned to God's will. And God's will was the north star in the decision making. God's presence was paramount to Jehoshaphat. His heart took delight in the ways of the law, in the ways of the Lord. How about us? He personally instituted revival campaigns that encouraged the people to follow God's agenda. For example, he instructed the judges whom he appointed to lead the people. Thus, you shall act in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with loyal hearts. The commitment to face the crisis with the intention of following God's agenda was the second secret of Jehoshaphat's success. This will bring success to us as well. Trust the Lord with all your hearts. Amen. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Business people, let me tell you a success. Maybe you don't know it, and you believe that when people do it, they are along the pastors to get fat. The Bible speaks about returning your tithes and offering to God. 1/10 of your earning, and the rest he will blow on it, and he will allow you to prosper. And then the question was asked, can a man rob God? And the Bible has the answer. It says, yes, you have robbed me. The entire nation has robbed me. And I'm saying, if you follow God's principle, even in a time of economic crisis, you will be surprised to see how your business thrive and do well. Church is dead again. You can say amen, brethren, because it's true. Well, maybe you have not proven it, so you can't say amen. But if those of us who prove it and believe it, we can say amen. Yes. This will bring success to us as well. Trust in the Lord, not in your own power and your own might. Ellen White wrote, God was the strength of Judah in the crisis, and he is the strength of his people today. God is our what? Our strength back there, and even today. We are not to trust in princes or to set men in the place of God. We are to remember that human beings are fallible and erring, and that he who has all power is our strong tower of defense. In every emergency, we are to feel that the battle is His. His resources are limitless, business people. And apparent impossibilities will make the victory all the greater. And this is taken from Prophet and Kings, page 202. And then, thirdly, pray sincere prayers of surrender and commitment. The third secret of Josiah is simple prayer. We cannot overemphasize prayer. Prayer is absolutely necessary during times when we have to make crucial decisions. But the prayer of Jehoshaphat is no ordinary prayer. Let us read the prayer in 2 Chronicles 20:6-12. O Lord, God of our Father, are you not God in heaven? Sometimes I ask God that. How about you? When you see certain things happening in your society, and you do not rule over all the kingdoms of the nation, and your hands is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And verse 8, and they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster come upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, like the chickvee, or famine, we will stand before this temple in your presence, for your name is in this temple. That's why we must regard God's house, because this is not my temple. It's not the pastor's temple. It's not the people's temple. It is God's temple. And so we need to dress well when we come in the temple of God. What do you say about that? You can't go down to the magistrate court in t-shirt and a slippers and flip-flop. The judge will say to you, this is my court. This is God's court. Can somebody say amen? Yes, we will stand before the temple and in your presence, for your name is in the temple, and cry out to you in our affliction. You will hear and save. Now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Isn't that a powerful prayer that we need to pray today? What a prayer! This is a prayer of surrender, not to the enemy, but to God. King Jehoshaphat had power, but he did not rely on his power or his wisdom. He relied completely on the Lord. Many a time, it is in this aspect that we fail. When we come to the Lord in prayer, we come with our own proposals, expecting God to approve them. Not King Jehoshaphat. He trusted God completely, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the living God. I think God was very pleased with Jehoshaphat's prayer. I can almost hear him saying, now I can take over. And so many things in our lives that we do not trust to God. even if we could trust him today so that he can take over our finances, he can take over our family life, he can take over our business, only if we trust him. I can now carry out my plans. I can now fully fight the battle for Jehoshaphat. So, we have seen Jehoshaphat's first three principles for dealing with a crisis. Seek God's will first and foremost. Face the crisis based on God's agenda. Pray sincere prayer of surrender and commitment. But in this narrative, these three principles are not yet the tipping point that turned the crisis into victory. It is the next principle, the fourth principle, that transformed the danger into opportunity. And the fourth principle then is obey the will of God expressed through the gift of prophecy. To see this action, let us read verse 14 to 17. 14. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, and the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all you Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem." And he said, "Jerusalem and you, king of Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord to you, do not be what? Do not be afraid nor dismay because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Zin, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeriel. Yes, you will find them there. But what will happen? What will happen? Yes, God has his way of doing things, not by might nor by power. He does not have the credential of prophetic. He didn't have a credential like Moses or David. He has not done miracles. He doesn't have much education. He also had quarrels with his wife sometimes. But pointing to the prophet's humility and humanity, such people try deceitful messages. But God spoke through Jahaziel. This is the one thing that matters. The ultimate qualification of a prophet is God's choice. King Jehoshaphat may well have struggled as he made his decision. Should he listen to the prophetic voice? Finally, I imagine him saying, God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it for me. That decision to follow God's will, expressed through the gift of prophecy, led King Jehoshaphat to obey. To do what? To obey. Are we people of obedience? What was God's specific command in response to the crisis? Why? What was God's specific? He said, read it again. God, go down against them. That's normal. That's expected. But the next command, do not fight. That is kind of foolish, no? And stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's not normal. From a human standpoint, this bothers almost every rational mind. And if you had been one of the king's military generals, we would like to have questioned the logic of such a strategy. Humanly speaking, it would be better to wait for the enemy to come closer to Jerusalem where we could defend it behind the walls. Logically, it would have been perfect. Their war provisions were stored there. Their wives and children were surely sheltered there. But if the defenders go out of the city, they will be vulnerable to the attacks of the invading army. Besides, why face the enemy if you do not intend to fight? But the king decided to follow the specific command of the Lord. Imagine it was not a popular decision. But if you are with God, you will always be in the realm of the minority or the majority. I can almost hear the king say, "Let us follow the Lord, even if we do not fully understand." This was the decision that turns the danger into an opportunity. Faith triumphed over fear. This is precisely the reason why King Jehoshaphat spoke this famous verse, "Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper." Many times, God's will challenges us to make decisions based on faith so that he can perform miracles in our lives. The prophet Elisha told Naaman the leper to dip 7 times in the Jordan, and when he obeyed, he was healed. Gideon and his 300 men were miraculously victorious because although at first he was skeptical, he believed and obeyed God. Joshua led the Israelites in a series of processions around Jericho City in faith. The result that the walls of the great city came tumbling down. Obedient faith leads to miraculous victories. Today, Jesus wants us to understand that though our nation is in crisis with this virus, though our nation is in crisis economically, if we trust God and we follow God's agenda, God will take us out of it. But we must trust him. When things are great, we must trust him. When we have little, we must trust him. Because the Bible says, there's a special song that says, "Little is much when God is in it." God will blow upon your little when you take out your one tenth. And in the Adventist church, I can talk for it. We don't use your money to buy pastor's car. Pastor buys his own car. Amen. Little is much when God is in it. Yes. Let's review Jehoshaphat's secret in overcoming the crisis. They constitute God's formula for success in our crisis. Number one, seek God's will first and foremost. Number two, face the crisis based on God's agenda. Number three, pray sincere prayers of surrender and commitment. Number four, obey the will of God expressed through the gift of prophecy. Number five, return the glory, honor, and praise to God. The Lord of hosts fights our life's battle. He needs us to seek his will sincerely, rely on him completely, obey his word absolutely, and attribute to him the glory and praise continually so that he may grant us success. Will you follow Jehoshaphat's strategy today? Do you want God to be the ruler of your lives, the leader of your life? Do you want success amidst the crisis that we face in our land today? We need to trust God and prove God with our crisis, with our health crisis, with our physical crisis, with our mental crisis, with our financial crisis. Trust God and leave everything in His hands. Follow His strategy, and He will lead you through the crisis. God bless you.